It's the worst show in the world. I love it so much.
Oh yeah, no, it's horrendous, but it's so great. Bad. It's are they doing it? Is it like the exact same? Like,
oh yeah, no, it's
multiple. 100%. Like they get split up. There's different time. There's different.
Well, I've only watched the first episode, and what the first episode does is
what we do here is go back.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Wheel Route Podcast. This is my legitimate conversation amongst friends and lovers sometimes about college football and lifestyle. You can find us on the internet, www.thewheelroute.com, wheelroutepodcast@gmail.com. That's the email address. And get us from Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the internet at large. We're also on Instagram at Wheel Route Podcast. My name is Logan Whitehouse. On Twitter at Logwan the Dawn, coming to you guys from Stuart, Florida, where you know, guys, a little bit of a crisp in the air. It was 68 degrees when I went to the gym the other morning.
Whoa.
And 72 this morning. So back-to-back days in the AC zone outside. That's we're cooking with gas. So really looking forward to a delightful weather weekend. Might be a little breezy, but we're still going to be getting these shots up. Who else is here?
My name is Jordan Schenk. I'm in Harrisonburg, Virginia, where frost warnings continue to pop up here and thereabouts. I'm on the social medias at Schenk Jordan, and ready to talk ball, guys. The advanced stats are popping off the page. We're in full, like, Tuesday games, Wednesday games, Thursday games, all across the week, just littered with ball and action. And I, for one, am not upset.
Correct.
Love that. My name is Jason Kreck. I am also in Harrisonburg, Virginia. I am also tweeting things at Jason Kreck. And yeah, it's looking like could be a very fun Saturday for everybody. And yeah, like Jordan, I'm very happy to be, what are we in? It's like 58 straight days of football or whatever.
Something like that,
on TV, which is delightful. Just delightful for everybody. I want to apologize for whatever was happening with my mic. We had hundreds of emails letting us know that the mic was wonky again. Yeah, I talked about it with Jordan. We're just chasing a functioning browser here. It's just rotating which one is working, and we do what we can. But you expect better of us, and we expect better of ourselves. So you have our apologies.
Jason's kind of got the like browser by committee going on right now.
It's a bullpen.
Whoever's got the hot of hand.
You know what they say? If you have two browsers, do you have one?
You don't have any.
Yeah,
you don't have any.
Exactly.
That's right.
Gentlemen, what are we sipping on this evening?
My can this evening is a Spindrift Lime.
Ooh, he's upgraded.
Work has been so hellacious lately that I finished my lemons on the top rack of the cube before my limes and grapefruits. So I get to enjoy some of these.
You go rack by rack. I love that. That's good.
Yeah.
Cricky?
I have the very last Kona Big Wave.
Are we sure it's the very last?
I checked, and I know this is the last one because it was rolling around on the door. It had fallen over, and so I was worried there would be a little flat, but it's not. It perseveres. It's stronger than
nitro
that.
Brew.
Right. Yeah, we got the big wave on Nitro. We tapped it on
big wave stout. I don't know if that's
I'm excited for what you choose next. You made it almost seven and a half weeks on the Kona Big Waves. So was that a 24 rack or was that a?
I think it was 18 bottles. It's also indicative of how little I've drank the last month, which
not to brag.
You know, good for me, but
not to brag. Haven't been quaffing Brondons.
Not just getting wrecked at 1260. Never mind.
Right. This is I'm back on the experimental IPAs, clearing out some space in the fridge. So
all right. We're gonna soldier through.
Yep. Doing what I
sometimes
do.
Sometimes has to be done.
Absolutely. All right, gentlemen. Well, spoiler alert, another college football week/weekend is upon us.
Yeah, it is. It's already started.
I'm thrilled to pick another Illinois game, I must say. Really excited. Really excited for that. A team that I still don't know that I've seen like more than four consecutive plays of Illinois football at any point this year. I have watched several Illinois games, like checking on them. But
can't say that. Were they in like the blind spot of your quad box?
Yeah. Well, the quad box is funny because there's clearly some like network allegiance shenanigans that go on with the quad box sometimes.
With like what they allow you to
yes
together.
Yeah, not all the time. They allow you to now build a quad box, but then you still can only choose, like, you can only basically add up to build one of the ones that's already available to you, which is kind of like, all right, so do you just are you lying to people? Like,
what year did picture in picture like debut?
Oh man, like 19, like 98 maybe.
We could pick any two channels to watch simultaneously.
Oh, that, yeah, that's
and
true.
And in the year of our Lord 2024, we can't figure out without using like multiple devices.
Well, and some of these are like network, it's network TV, like, you know, it's like NBC or CBS. Like, why does YouTube TV care if I'm watching three ESPN, ABC, Disney affiliated channels and one CBS? You know, yeah, like it's in theory free beaming into my house. I could catch it on the rabbit ears. So anyhow, this is extreme first world problems.
This is also a recurring weekly segment of Logan on streaming problems.
Well, I don't really have. Do I have streaming problems?
You have a couple of
animals. Oh, peacock, yeah. Mostly the cock. Yeah, I'm anti cock here for sure. That's
Ben's got to have a code.
Yes. Yeah. Luckily, NBC saved me last week for the Ohio State game. I was about to be extremely furious and have to be
all the way angry.
Super resourceful. But before we jump into any games, do you guys, is there anything we need to talk about? Do we need to update the big board? Do we need to update the coaching carousel?
I'll just throw this out. We're in week 8, or heading into week 8, effectively. Nobody's been fired yet.
I was going to say, that was going to be my thing. What's the longest we've gone in recent memory without a firing?
Does that surprise us? Is it sensible?
I feel like the really early firings, well, also, didn't we have a firing like week 1? Didn't Blake Anderson get fired like before the season started?
Oh, well, that's fair.
But I mean, that
was for cause, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, that's what they're loading up. I think my dad played golf with him recently.
You want to come on the podcast?
Since he's been fired recently?
Yes. Or, yeah.
Okay.
Interesting.
I mean, he's not doing much. Probably
take some of that buyout money off of him. Did David tell him he's playing off of like a 17?
Hopefully.
Just absolutely terrible.
Hustling, Dave. Have a taste, Blake.
But no, Todd. Nobody's been fired for a performance, I don't think.
Yeah, that's probably true. Surprisingly, Billy Napier's been fired by millions.
Nobody's been fired by a director of athletics anywhere.
Right. I think we need to definitely have Sonny Dykes on this list. Things have really gone off the rails for TCU in a big, bad way. And he's doing like big time butthurt coach stuff. Yeah, also
got, there's a lot of job security showing on his face these days.
Yes.
I was ready to fire him at halftime of the Houston game.
Was that the one that he got kicked out of?
The episode will reflect that. No, that was the week after he got ejected.
Oh yeah. So anyhow, I think he needs to be on the list, but yeah, I mean, I think right now your most likely to get fired are Napier, Aranda, and I'm thinking Mac Brown. Well, most likely not to be the coach next year.
Mac's not going to get fired, but that'll be a retirement.
I am exceedingly interested in where North Carolina takes that.
Do we think Pittman's still there?
No, I think Pittman's gone too. Okay. Pittman might get the Mac Brown treatment.
Interesting. Okay. Even with the win over Tennessee.
Yeah. You think North Carolina would hire Sam Pittman?
Ooh, here we go.
Oh, now we're talking. No, I think Sam Pittman's like an Arkansas guy. Like, I think that was always the selling point about him going to Arkansas. It was like
truly going.
He's like, situation. Yeah. This was like a, you know, good situation for him. SEC guy, Arkansas guy, more or less. So, I mean, he seems jolly. I just don't know that jolly wins football games.
Not enough.
The problem with some of these guys, Billy Napier, chief amongst them, is that you actually got to play football games. You know, that's what's tough. That's what's really killing Billy.
Do you know who was the associate head coach and offensive line coach for 5 years at North Carolina before he went to the SEC?
Larry Fedora.
Sam Pittman.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. There we go.
Back when the boys were in college, 2007 to 2011.
Wow.
Wow. Jeez. Okay. Well, who knows, Jason? Not a bad thought.
It was Jordan's thought. I'll give him credit. I just did the research. Kind of typical.
We tag teamed. Yeah.
I think Lincoln Riley also is an interesting one. If they collect another couple L's, I think that could get like kind of messy in like a short order.
I don't remember who it was because I put it out of my memory so fast. Somebody was on my Twitter screen today saying that USC right now is just Texas 3 years ago.
That's bold.
I would love to see
Texas. So this is like pre-Sark Texas. This is the end of like
2002 Texas, I guess.
The end of Tom Herman.
Is that end of Tom Herman Texas? Was he the coach most recently?
Let me see. So this has been
are we for 2022?
Oh yeah, 2022 was that was first year of Sark. Texas went 8-5.
Mm.
Lost by 1 point to number one Alabama. I'm not seeing the comparison. Admittedly, it was the second year of Sark. The first year of Sark, they went 5-7. So, okay. I'll hold off judgment.
Yeah, but, okay. So, they just think that Lincoln Riley is going to just get it absolutely hopping.
Seems that way.
The Big Ten next year. I'll be honest. I've been like, Sark has impressed me. I didn't necessarily think that he had the sort of the seeds to get it done in the SEC.
The rise of the Phoenix,
if you know what I'm saying. So I've been really impressed with him. I think they have like an absurd NIL apparatus supporting their program too, which is very nice to have.
It doesn't hurt to have literally the richest athletics department in the entire country.
Right. But you know, there's other teams.
Because they've had the richest athletics department in the entire country for like 15 years. So.
There's other teams that we are fans of that have like top five richest athletics departments in the country and manage to fart around and trip on themselves and, you know, can't get lined up, can't kick a field goal without 12 guys on the field, you know, can't do a running play on 4th and inches for more than negative yards, things like that, you know, difficult. PJ Fleck might be working himself off if he continues to occasionally win a game. I just don't know what to make of Minnesota. I don't have strong feelings there.
Yeah, I think that program profile, at least as an outsider, seems like one where they might be content to just let the buyout continue to decrease and fire him at a more palatable time financially.
Right.
They don't have like a sterling football brand that is being tarnished by the PJ Fleck years, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, what are you losing other than time?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I just, you know, unless you really think that you're going to hire someone and then there's going to be an influx of target money or something into the Minnesota program, and then you're going to turn your program into Ohio State or Michigan, I just don't see that happening. So I think I'm with you on that. Take the check, take the losses. All right. Quick update on the Florida Big Board. Guys, I think we have to introduce James Franklin, Big Game James, onto the Florida Big Board. I think
not a bit.
This is not a bit. I think from a practical standpoint, I could sell it to you guys eventually.
Jordan's a tougher sell than I am, but
I think there are worse hires
that Florida can make.
I mean, I think some of this too is like given where Florida has been in the recent past, like having legitimate losing seasons. I don't think James Franklin's ever had a losing season. All right. That's good news. He always has like great staffs. Like dudes get hired off his staff all the time.
I was gonna say he does his coaching tree grew real fast.
He was by far the best coach we've ever seen coach at Vanderbilt, which is a crazy thing to say. That was a long
time.
For the
moment.
That was a long time ago now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. And then so he's the second best coach we've ever seen at Vanderbilt, maybe. And I think that there's definitely like they recruit really well. So I mean, I think there's like a lot to like. I just think there's also plenty from like a stylistic and game management standpoint that like you might not like, but I don't know. He's taken some medicine recently, made a really good offensive coordinator hire this year and seems to be paying off. And I'm not saying that like I think you would have to pay way too much money to bring James Franklin over from Penn State unless there was like some sort of arrangement there. He's been there for 12 years. Maybe he wants to do something different. Who knows? I think you could talk me into it is what I'm saying. From a program manager and guy who knows how
to. So this is like a go to the restaurant, you order Coke, but they say we have Pepsi, and you're like, yeah, I can stomach Pepsi.
Yeah, well, yes, I think I would maybe be more high on Franklin than Drinkwitz.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I would probably be higher on him than say like if we wanted to hire like Glenn Schumann, Georgia's DC.
Coach Glenn, that could go.
Yeah, Coach Glenn.
That's just.
I do think Rhett Lashley is a very interesting candidate. Young, good recruiter. SEC guy fills out a shacket. We've been over that.
I wish I could have bought Rhett Lashley futures in 2020.
Yeah, I still think Lane would be the most fun guy to have as my team's coach for a run. I just don't know. Like, I think Lane is benefiting from getting to be like. There's a school of thought where you could say Lane Kiffin is just Dan Mullen with a better Twitter account.
Okay. Mm.
And I don't know that I necessarily agree with that because I think Lane is a little savvier when it comes to recruiting and NIL stuff and whatnot than Dan was. Dan Mullen didn't really get to exist for very many years in the like proper NIL era either. So, so that was, which is probably for the best, but I think that like Lane might need more like school NIL backing. I don't know that he would necessarily want to like have the reins of that to himself. I think he likes to call, I think he likes to coach football.
Yeah.
So anyhow, but I'm saying like if you could scheme it up and you got Lagway and you got good receivers, you could have a fun year. So and at this anytime. Point, at this point, I'm looking to have a fun year sometime before I die. So that would be nice. So anyhow, that's where we're at, guys. I hope you're okay with me taking a detour there.
Yeah, no, that's great. Always. I appreciate you entering it in to the record, putting it out there, putting your name on it.
Right,
that's big.
The combo pack, Cliff Kingsbury and Aranda. Is still there too if the Gators really want to get messy with it.
Are they both represented by Jimmy Sexton?
Oh God. I don't know, probably. So is Billy.
Because I feel like that could help if they were both represented by the same agent or agency.
Do you think that Dave Aranda and Cliff Kingsbury would get along?
No.
It seems like two very different souls. But yeah, we could just have the head coach of defensive operations and the head coach of offensive operations.
The offensive head coach
and then
the defensive
pay like $2 million a year for someone to be the general manager in charge of roster management.
Mac Brown would do that.
I would do it. I could come on. Listen.
I'll do it for
$200,000. Okay. For sure. I've done worse. I've done much worse for a lot less.
Much less for $200,000, man.
I don't know about that. That'd be pushing it.
Logan's got a family.
Yeah, I got a family to feed here. I'm like Latrell Sprewell. I got a family to feed. All right. Week 7. Let's hop into it. Boston College is at VPI.
Week 8.
Week 8. Does, right? Yes, it is week 8. Does this game do anything for you guys? Boston College.
Yes.
VPI.
It's going to be Thursday night. It's probably going to be the best action on the screen in terms of brands. Hashtag brands. It also gives me the opportunity to remind our listeners about the Thursday night game where Matt Ryan drove a stake into the hearts of a rainy Lane Stadium.
Silencing of Blacksburg.
Yeah.
The chorus of the cheers throughout the old dorms at UVA through the open windows that we could hear when that happened was truly, truly remarkable and truly made me feel something. You know, that was great. Nothing like UVA fans watching dudes at UVA bonding over Virginia Tech's downfall on national TV. It's
anytime
really good.
Noise would reverberate through old dorms. That was like, oh man.
Oh, really?
That's happened for like so many different reasons over the years.
Shared
for it to be this.
A shared moment. Yes.
That's truly sick.
Matt Ryan in the rain, sticking it to BPI. Yeah, well, I'll check in on this one. Just no sense in not checking in on this one.
Right. Looks like the spread at least opened Virginia Tech -6.5. I'd take them to cover that.
Gotcha.
This is probably the last chance we have before Virginia Tech does their typical late season surge.
When they start proving why they were deserving of a dark horse designation at the beginning of the year.
Their schedule the second half sucks a lot, except for Clemson. No offense to present company, but it's
Virginia
pretty bad.
Only sucks a little.
Yeah, Virginia does. To be fair, Virginia does only suck a little.
They're getting closer to properly rated because they have a second loss now.
Yes.
Honestly, Virginia might be like the second or third best team on their remaining schedule. It's rough stuff.
Well, they lost to Vanderbilt to start the year. So
feisty Vanderbilt.
This is true. Very feisty. All right. Florida State is at Duke. Is this Florida State's best chance to pick up a win on the way down the stretch? State has the opposite problem that Virginia Tech has. Manny Diaz.
Yeah, they have Charleston Southern in there. So,
okay, well,
but that's the only one you can feel good about.
The weirdest vibes of all time are going to be the Florida State game this year. I'm pretty thrilled for some
nobody
strange,
in that stadium is going to want to be there.
Strange None. Vibes for sure. This is another one might be worth a passing glance. I think Florida State fans allege that the backup quarterback, Mr. Brockline, that's playing is better than DJU. So, you know, maybe hope springs eternal.
That's good. That was their only problem. So I think they're set now.
Yeah.
That was a big problem, Jason. He was a really big problem.
I'm not going to say it was bad. It was good, but like
the rising pass, the cresting out of the end zone, like out of arm's reach.
But it's not like his guys weren't, he wasn't like missing super open receivers. And
well,
he wasn't,
yeah, whoever that tight end is committing like insurance fraud on the team.
What I mean.
At
no point in any of their games were you like, that position is just getting wasted right now because they're so much better than they're playing.
It will be nice to see Manny Diaz at it again. I always love checking in on Manny Diaz on the sideline. He doesn't look like a football coach. He doesn't give like tremendous football coach like vibe when you see him. Always pretty sweaty.
He looks like an analyst they called down from the booth for a game. Like, hey Manny, we got an extra sideline pass. You want to come down here and coach from the field?
You want to come down here log tackles from the field? Another former Penn State, reclamation project there. A James Franklin product.
Let's say James Franklin stays at Penn State, doesn't move anywhere. Does Penn State become the school for wayward boys that Alabama used to be?
That's interesting. Or, can you be the school for wayward boys if you always finish third in your conference?
If you are a wayward boy yourself.
If you yourself potentially are... a perennial wayward boy. PWB. I don't know. Oklahoma State is at BYU. We do get Provo at night situation here.
That's going to be fun.
Bad news for Oklahoma State. They're bad also. I think this is not a good... This is not your father and grandfather's Oklahoma State team. But should probably check in on this. I kind of want to view the Provo at night situation just to kind of like feel the Mormon
always
energy.
Always a good watch. Also, OK State's coming off a bye. Keep an eye.
Ooh, rest it up. All right, Jordan, UVA's at Clemson. How are we feeling?
Unbothered. Unstressed.
What's the line?
I think it was 21.
Okay.
Which, when I saw it initially, I thought, I could talk myself into a UVA cover. I would still be surprised by it, but like you can look at last year and like, oh, UVA went on the road and beat undefeated number 10 North Carolina, and that was awesome. But then we kind of discovered that undefeated number 10 North Carolina had some warts,
right,
more than had showed in the first quarter of the season.
Some flaws.
Clemson seems to be trending correctly, finding their groove. And yeah, I just think this is a team that is tailor-made to whoop up on what Virginia wants to do on both sides of the ball, really. So
yeah. Could be long.
I'll check it on it.
Yeah, but we should, but could be a long day for the Hoos.
But yeah, but they play at noon, so they're gonna be done by 3:30 and get the rest of my day.
All yourselves.
That's right. All right. Notre Dame is at Georgia Tech. Just want to keep an eye on this one. That's all. I'm not particularly excited about watching these two teams play. I don't find either of them to be remarkable when you watch them play, but you know, a couple gold helmet squads duking it out, and you know, Notre Dame has shown the propensity occasionally to get a little tripped up by like tough team that finds themselves in close game with them.
NIU,
yes,
for instance.
Right, people are saying that Georgia Tech is the NIU of the ACC, so I think
I like it.
Ryan Day is the Michael Jordan of James Franklin.
Work hard.
Such a beautiful tweet. Colorado is at Arizona. This one could just be messy and kind of fun to watch, as most Colorado games tend to be these days. I think Colorado's getting a little better.
I agree. I think Arizona's favored in this game. I would be tempted for a little Colorado sprinkle.
Yeah, Travis.
I haven't been thoroughly impressed with what I've seen from Arizona for a full four quarters. They look good for like a quarter and a half.
I mean, if Fifita is throwing the ball to the big tall receiver, it looks awesome. But that appears to be the only thing they're interested in even trying to do on offense.
Right. Which makes for a good viewing experience.
Correct. It
doesn't win a whole lot of ball games.
Fifita just kind of like jogging around back there, just yeeting it, is not necessarily a recipe for winning football. So I don't know.
It's not complimentary.
Could be fun. Could be fun football. Jason, the Dukes, James Madison at Georgia Southern in where are they? Statesboro, Georgia. Beautiful Statesboro, Georgia.
Gorgeous Statesboro, Georgia.
Home of the original Adrian Peterson. What do we think? What are we feeling? How are we doing?
It'll be interesting.
Listen, also, before you get going too far, I don't need the company speak answer here. All right. We need the pulse of the fan, Jason.
I've been a fan for 14 months now.
Has it been that
I
long?
Need longer
purple and gold for a little bit for us.
Here, I'll Jason. Say whatever I want.
Throw a streamer all over the mic.
Yeah, I'll get crazy with it. JMU should win this game. JMU. Yeah. Georgia Southern has a very good offense and a pretty bad defense. JMU has a very good defense and a pretty decent offense. I think JMU should win this game. Georgia Southern, the last time we were down there, beat us like 65-63 or something. It was insane.
Wow, that would be fun.
The JMU quarterback broke the record for like yards in a game, and it was in a loss. Georgia Southern also scored 21 points in the fourth quarter last week to beat Marshall at home, like super crazy. It ended at like 1 a.m. because of rain. They did it by scoring three touchdowns and a safety. The safety was first, and then they didn't convert a two-point conversion. Then they kicked a field goal, then they didn't convert a two-point conversion, and they won 24-23.
Wow. That has to be like a combination scoregami. No one has ever reached 21 points in this manner.
Scored 21 with four different scores. So it should be good. Whoever wins this probably has the inside track to the Sun Belt East title, with App State both not playing well on the field and admittedly going through it a bit off the field. T's and P's for beloved Boone. So it's a big one. It's a significant game. I think JMU opened at like 10.5 and it was down to like 9.5 when I was looking at it earlier today. So should be fine, but you know, you don't just walk into Statesboro, Logan. You know this.
This I know. Yes. Yeah. I've sat there. I've sat there on those concrete bleachers.
Dang right. So it should be a fun one.
We love football games in the South. So that's go right. Dukes. But we do love the Dukes most of all.
That's right.
Truly.
Priorities.
And the bell of the ball, the nightcap, everyone's favorite team, the Kentucky Wildcats, making the trip to Gainesville to take on the DJ Lagway-led Gators. We didn't mention, I don't think this was news on the pod, but Graham Mertz did tear his ACL and is out for the rest of the season. I do not think he tore his ACL on the play in which he hobbled off. I think it was pointed out that I think he tore his ACL on like three plays prior to that, or maybe even on the drive prior to that. And, you know, maybe just was running off of adrenaline and vibes. And then finally kind of his knee gave out eventually on the subsequent drive. So
that's crazy.
Anyhow, sucks for Graham. He was a good soldier for the Gators. You do in fact got to hand it to Graham Mertz. I think he was subject of a lot of jokes and a lot of like Graham Mertz. I mean, that dude blows, you know, kind of commentary. And I think made himself some money. I mean, and ending your season with an injury, not a great way to go out, but I think he could be one of those guys that like starting for the Bengals, you know, because Joe Burrow like breaks his thumb like in 2 years or something. Yeah, he right. Like
Jake Browning's.
Exactly. I mean, not a big arm, but I mean, I think he completed like 75% of his passes, which is a lot. Also not surprising when you see the kind of passes that were sort of rammed his way, because to prevent him from throwing Graham Mertz interceptions, but that kind of sucks. But anyhow, back to the game. Kentucky comes to town. Kentucky on a 2-game winning streak against the Gators. I think Florida's like a 2 or 3 point favorite, I saw.
So I saw this when I was glancing through earlier today. I want to see what they're up to now. So it opened, Kentucky was a 1.5 favorite, and now Florida is a 1.5 favorite. So it shifted 3 points.
Yeah, I mean, maybe Florida's defense has been playing a lot better, and I don't think Kentucky asks a whole lot of your defense other than probably being gap sound and making tackles. Their quarterback, Brock Vandegrift, not awesome. They don't really have great receivers, not ultra notable game-breaking running back situation. No Ray Davis type this year playing running back for them. So I don't know. Depends on if the Gators can overcome any sort of slow start wobbles and procedural meltdowns, which has been a hallmark of the Billy Napier area so far. So
Ray Davis looked great in the Monday night game this week.
Yeah, he looked he must have thought he was playing the Gators. He looked really good against the Gators last year too, ran for like 200 yards, just absolute torch fest. So we'll see. Kentucky always brings really good defense to town. Lagway getting his first start against an SEC opponent. Pretty tough one to start against. Not that it would be easy to start against some others, but I'm interested to see what the game plan is for Lagway with like the full, he's going to be probably the only quarterback to go. So the only guy behind him is a walk-on too. So gonna need to, hopefully they don't do the Anthony Richardson, like weird kid gloves thing, you know, and just kind of like fart around.
Put him in bubble wrap.
Yeah. But we'll see. He can sling it. I would love to see a little bit of the arm talent on display, maybe use some of the downfield passing to open up the running game. That would be a good thing for Florida to attempt to do, but who am I? I'm just a schemer, you know?
Just a guy absolutely with a PS2 memory card.
Absolutely. But go Gators. We'll see how it is.
Yeah.
I don't have any others on the list here. So Jordan, Jason, if you got any others that are popping to the mind, otherwise it's a one-way ticket to pick.
I had Oregon Purdue on Friday night. It'd be funny if Purdue wasn't terrible.
Just because Purdue has a propensity for knocking off the number 2 team in the country.
Say, like, Purdue at home on a Friday night with a little bit of a letdown. Who's to say?
South Carolina.
We skipped over. Say what?
South Carolina, Oklahoma could be weird.
Could get weird. On that front, LSU at Arkansas is going to be weird.
Logan, are you breathing heavy into the mic?
No, but there is potentially some other noises adjacent. I apologize.
Okay.
I don't think I was.
Could you hear that, Jason?
I don't know. I was talking. It might have been me.
Oh.
Did it stop?
Well, we can just keep going.
Stopped
when I said something.
I hope you leave all of this in. LSU at Arkansas is going to be super weird and hilarious for whatever reason. Kansas State at West Virginia could be interesting.
Yeah.
Kansas State probably still very much in the playoff picture near the top of the Big 12.
Gotta be.
West Virginia goes on the road for two after this. Kind of a big game. They're sitting at 3-3. If they get to 3-4, I don't know. Could be messy. Auburn at Missouri. It's going to be weird.
That's an Auburn game.
Yeah. Also, Auburn might have a real bad record when all is said and done.
That would be tough.
Yeah, they could be like 2-10, like legitimately.
Like two and
Auburn
ten is in
and
play.
FSU could both finish 2-10 this year.
Because like they're 2-4. It. They go to Missouri, then they go to Kentucky, then they got Vanderbilt, which their Grim Reaper quarterback is coming for Hugh Freeze again, which is delightful.
Yeah, and Vanderbilt's actually good now too.
Yeah, their like little blow off Sun Belt game is UL Monroe, who is feisty as hell this year. And then they finish with Texas A&M and Alabama. So, like, probably no guaranteed wins in there for an Auburn team that doesn't look awesome. But I don't know. If you gave me an over-under of 3.5 wins on the year, it'd be a tough call.
Yeah. They could get one. They could get one more, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
The odds would probably be that they would get one more just by, like, kind of playing Vanderbilt, playing Missouri, playing just teams that like can just lay an egg. But
I don't know if there's two lurking there. We'll have to see.
No, but you know that they'll be in an overtime game with Alabama for some strange reason. So
yeah, that game will be just very strange. It'll be like 19-19 at the end of regulation and be very weird. So anyway, those are all the non-pick games I spotted that could get feisty.
Yeah, for me, South Carolina, Oklahoma, don't know what to make of either of those two teams.
Yeah, that's true.
But seeing them together could be interesting, not for exciting reasons, but just pure curiosity.
Good defenses in those games.
Yeah, similar color matchups too, so they might be used to the visuals from practice, just seeing those shades running past them.
Maybe that's why. The offenses are going to suck. Coach, I don't know what to do.
I don't know who to throw.
Everybody's wearing cream and red.
Another likely ugly one, Wake Forest is at UConn.
Oh.
That line's only UConn by 1.5.
Jeez.
This is 4-2 UConn we're talking about?
Yeah, it is. I didn't slight them. I just said they are playing Wake. And it could be ugly.
No, I just had to speak it into existence because I don't
four
really know.
And
how
two,
to talk
four
about
and
it.
Two team at home hosting Wake Forest, only 1.5-point favorite. A lot of respect. We're getting a lot of respect for that record.
I also wanted to point out that the largest total on the board for this weekend, by a significant amount, is 77.5 points.
Wow.
That is Utah State, 1-5 Utah State. Hosting Bronco and his Sweet Lobos.
Bronco's big, beautiful boys.
Yes, and Nick Howell's very porous defense.
slender.
Just wanted to point that out.
Baby-backed boys. Right.
So yeah, those are the non-pickers. Let's go to Pickville.
Take me there.
Five games. You know what it is. They will get picked against the spread for posterity and record-keeping purposes, but most importantly, for entertainment purposes only.
Right.
Capital O only. We're going to start at noon with two games, the first of which is in the Conference of Champions. The ACC, Miami is at Louisville in the slice, as it was once known. The Hurricanes are 4.5-point favorites on the road. Jason Craig.
Yeah, fun one to start with. I will preface this by saying I haven't seen as much Louisville football as I should have by this point in the year. I think Logan was right a few weeks ago and that we are both still holding a grudge against them for the excuse for football they put us through.
Who did they play? Was that an NC State?
NC State.
Yeah,
Louisville, NC State.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Brandon Armstrong was involved.
Yeah, and whoever that Louisville quarterback was they were trotting out at that time was so bad. I mean,
was that a plumber?
Yes. Yes, it was.
Yeah. Jack Plumber, maybe?
I believe it was.
Yeah. Anyways, all that to say, Louisville's results don't make them look like world beaters. Miami is coming off a bye, and I think they just have straight up more talent, even beyond the Cam Ward factor. Noon kick doesn't scream super home field advantage in Louisville on a Saturday, so I will take the Hurricanes.
All right, I'm going to consult the advanced stats here. A lot of blue in a lot of different columns for both of these teams. It does look like Louisville's big weakness is their success rate defensively against the dropback. Don't know if Cam Ward's the guy you want to be struggling in that department against. So I'll take Miami here. Wasn't super impressed with how Louisville performed against Virginia last week.
Yeah.
I think a return to home may help them in some areas, but going from defending Anthony Calandria and Des Kitching's offense to the Cam Ward experience is going to be a step, probably too big for the Louisville defense. So I'll take Miami.
I mean, Calandria thinks he's got that Cam Ward in him, but he's not quite there.
Well, he's from Florida. He probably does got some of it.
Is Cam Ward from Florida? I don't think so.
Currently, he hails from Miami.
Fair enough.
To return.
That's where his mail arrives.
Also, spending like 2 years in Pullman, Washington, and then going to Miami has to be quite the shocking experience.
That's the kind of move you want to make. Not the other way around.
Yeah, that's a good. Well said. That's a good point. Yeah, I'll also go with Miami here. I think I will be happy for Louisville to prove me wrong. I think I was a little probably just too high on them for a week too long. So of course they'll rebound here and make a fool out of me. But yeah, I think Miami off a bye, plenty to play for. They've kind of got a business trip attitude. So. Give me the Canes, regrettably. I don't know when they're going to trip up. Miami seems like the kind of team that has a loss in them, but like they seem like they've passed their two likely loss tests already. So I kind of feel like Miami is probably due for a knockout game. A better performance, right? Yeah, like unless they're just going to be cardiac Canes all year long, which would be fun, I suppose.
That is a branding decision to make, certainly on the table still. For them.
I want you guys to check out how sweaty Mario Cristobal is on the sideline in this game too. The man is one of the sweatiest of all the coaches. If you get a chance to check it out,
he's up in that less humid Kentucky air. He might be okay.
Yeah, I wonder if he'll be gone off the bourbon. You know.
Friday night bourbon trail into a noon kickoff and the slice.
I'm taking recruits to the bourbon trail.
All right. Also at noon, kind of close-ish to the bourbon trail, depending on how you look at it. Nebraska is at Indiana, and the undefeated bowl-eligible Hoosiers are favored by 6.5. I'm interested in this game. I think if I could only watch one of the noon games, I think I would pick this one. I'm going to take Indiana here. I've been more impressed with the seeming consistency of their performances compared to what I have seen from Nebraska when they have been on my plane of vision. So I'll take Indiana home touchdown win. Doesn't seem too impossible. It's interesting looking at the stats. Nebraska's kind of big weakness is offensive success rate with dropback passes. So Raiola, yes, he can spin it, but still a lot to clean up and shore up there. So on the road against, you know, a boisterous crowd, I would imagine. A lot to play for still this season. I'll take Indiana.
Yeah, Mr. All I Do Is Win himself. Got the Google boys him. Got the boys going. Some fun shirts from Home Field available right now with Coach Sig's face on them. And I'm going to get one for Jason.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
You can wear it around.
Imagine if you had to write the copy for that. There was a universe where that was going to happen.
There
was
a universe where that would have happened, yeah.
Just imagine the way that like the tufts of his hair stylized on the shirt would poke out of the Henley, the hoodie Henley, you know.
Just be like,
is that
just right at the top?
Is that Signetti's mane that I see there on
is
your
that
chesticles?
Perfectly poised, Kurt Signetti's
is that Signetti cabbage.
Man, look at that.
I think I am gonna go with Nebraska to keep it close here. I think it's a Jimmy's and Joe's situation. I like Nebraska to keep it close. I feel like the line is a little too respectful of Indiana, and I think they've gotten really fat off a bad schedule so far. I have not, Jordan, much like you, have not been ultra impressed with Nebraska from a, like, I don't think that they're really going to go put the hands on anybody that's much better than them. But I also don't know that, like, Indiana is, in fact, much better than them, at least from a man-on-man standpoint. So I think they could cover. I do. I am, like, all jokes aside, in favor of Indiana really messing things up and being like basically undefeated.
Agents of chaos.
Yes, I would. I think that would. I think that would be rad. Yeah. For the record,
I'm on board. I'm gonna take Indiana. I'm glad that you didn't, so I wouldn't have to pick Indiana for the consensus. Wildly insulting to my alma mater to say that the Jimmys and Joes are better for Nebraska, since like 2/3 of Indiana's starting lineup is JMU players.
Right.
But I'll move past that. I think Indiana's good.
JMU didn't even make a bowl game last year, dude.
Yeah. Can you really be a Duke forever if you go to Indiana?
JMU 100% made a bowl game last year.
Did they? When were we doing all that complaining about them not going to a bowl game? Was that last year or was that 2 years ago?
So that was
Last year.
It was the conference championship.
Yeah, it was last year's. We couldn't play in the conference championship and we couldn't make the CFP. We had to wait to see who was ineligible.
But they could still go to a bowl.
And we got waivered into the bowl after all the there was not enough 6-win teams. Anyway,
thank you, Governor Youngkin, sir. He said tears streaming.
Not
down.
For one instant. Not for one instant did anybody say that ever.
All right. Well, that's my bad. Correct the record. The Dukes lost by 40 to Air Force in a bowl game.
Got a pause put on us by the Air Force boys.
Was Coach Signetti coaching that game?
No.
He said he was. He said in his "I'm leaving" release that he's 100% coaching the bowl game. And then 3 days later, he said, "I am definitely not coaching the bowl game on the Big Ten Network." So that was fun.
I like that.
Yep. Anyways, if this was a full 7 points, I'd probably pause at it more. But I think Indiana can pull off the full touchdown. Let's move on.
He worked for Saban. He knows how to spin a yarn.
Yes, eyes did. Forward.
Yes, he did.
All gas, no breaks. Logan, no, I definitely see where you're coming from here. I could be talked into Nebraska keeping this close. I just also can definitely see a late fourth quarter Raiola oopsie.
Yeah.
Four.
And like I think most Indiana games so far have gone like, you know, they've been sort of tight games. Then at some point, Indiana just gets like two stops and they just like don't stop scoring. And then all of a sudden they win by like three scores. And you're kind of like, huh, Damn, they did it again. So I mean that
so
could
maybe a Nebraska first half cover.
There we go.
Be a play.
Now we're talking.
Now we're drilling into the tectonic plates. 3:30. We have an SEC contest. Alabama's at Tennessee, and Alabama favored on the road by 3 points. Logan.
Oh. I love Alabama here. I think people are going to be more down on Alabama when in reality people should be way more down on Tennessee after their last 2 weeks. Jimmy's and Joe's certainly favors Alabama. I think if Tennessee is able to exploit one thing, you would hope that it would be the secondary for Alabama, but I don't know that their quarterback currently is playing well enough to be able to take advantage of some potential mistakes. You know, a lot of overthrows out of the young man right now. Alabama brings a pretty good pass rush. So if Milroe can limit his mistakes, which is, you know, Jalen Milroe is going to make some mistakes. I think that's kind of part of the experience. But if he can, like, not have multiple backbreaking mistakes, then I think Alabama should be able to cover this one tidy. I like the way that DeBoer game plans, and I think in like a big game like this rivalry game, Alabama will come out ready to go. And then I don't think the Nico running the pressing Tennessee offense experience is not going to go well for Tennessee. We saw some of that
here first.
We saw some of that last week, just, you know, against a Florida defense that isn't ultra disruptive, but there's some turnovers out there. This game could be there could be some quarterback gaffes that lead this game to kind of blow up in one direction or another.
It's fair. I'm going to take Tennessee, knowing going in that it's not smart to pick against Alabama here. I don't know. I feel like that I can't shake that Arkansas loss leading into the South Carolina mess for Alabama.
Vanderbilt. They lost to Vanderbilt, right?
Arkansas
was Tennessee. I can't shake the two bad weeks. Something feels weird about it. I think, like, speaking of Milroe, I think UT has the front seven to make him get a little bit of happy feet. And probably, I don't think their front four is quite as good as South Carolina, but I think they can get after him a little bit. And I don't know if Alabama will maybe have to go to the throw Jalen Milroe into the wall offense more. And I don't love that holding up as like a consistent bailout plan. This does definitely rely on Nico, like, having the composure to push the ball downfield, which not ideal, but maybe he feels more comfortable in Nayland. So give me the Vols.
I think I would be interested, Jason, how you would feel if Florida had scored, like, say, 27 points last week. Because Florida moved the ball, like, very well on Tennessee. They just inexplicably didn't score. like they didn't cash. Like, there were numerous on the doorstep. I mean, they didn't even, like, score points in the red zone, right? On, like, I think a handful of trips. I'm just curious because, like, I kind of went into that game thinking that Tennessee's defense was, like, really good. And I think their defense is good. But I think a little bit discouraged by Florida's ability to kind of, like, both run it and pass it on Tennessee last week, given Florida's, you know, sort of lack of zest on that side of the ball. But just an observation, just kind of curious.
That's fair. Don't blame you. Yeah. Could have just been an off week, though. Who knows?
I'm going to take Alabama. But it is an interesting scenario of, like, after week three, we were all probably high on both of these teams, yeah. And two bad weeks in a row coming into this one. One was a loss for each of these schools. I think this could get super pointsy or be like a 21-14 game. Both options are on the table, but I think I have seen enough blunders from and busted coverages from Alabama secondary that I'm very excited to see. Can Heupel scheme guys wide A open against the secondary? Because friggin' South Carolina was able to do it. And
yeah,
that's interesting. But yeah, I think like DeBoer and his staff should be able to scheme enough of a designed and intentional QB run game early to where it maybe negates some of the pass rush plans that Tennessee had and was maybe able to put together against Florida, where those plays necessarily weren't on the table to the same degree. Certainly not for Mertz, but for Lagway, if all that's backing him up is a walk-on, you're not running read options to the regularity that Milroe will. So I'll take Alabama. Very excited to watch this one, however.
So it's always a good one. This is like a sneaky, like fun rivalry, I think.
Yeah. Cigars after the game, right?
That's right.
Also at 3:30, it's everyone's favorite two B1G schools that we pick on a dang near weekly basis. It's Michigan at Illinois. We get to kill both of these birds in one section of the spreadsheet. Michigan favored by 3 on the road. And Jason gets to start.
I am going to be taking Michigan.
Wow.
I'll again throw myself an out by saying this is all moot if Michigan just throws it more than honestly like 12 to 15 times. I think I should get an automatic refund, but
they're playing the throwing quarterback now, Jason. He knows how to throw it. They found another guy on the roster that can call pass plays for.
Let's go with that. Anyway, Illinois is kind of below average guarding or matching up against the run. So it feels like Michigan should just control the clock and try to drag Illinois into submission. I think the other side of the ball, Illinois' offense against Michigan's defense should be pretty interesting. But I like the Wolverines coming off a bye and playing the kind of football that I think they can win games with if they don't get out over their skis. So, Michigan.
Yeah, I'm also going to take Michigan here. Illinois, like Jason said, not very good against the run, which is kind of surprising for a Burt team, I feel like. I feel like you should practice against the run a lot in a Burt-led program. So, interesting.
I feel like Illinois defense is usually just tackling good in general, so...
The kind of like uncertainty at quarterback for Michigan this year does give me some pause, but the fact that they've had a bye week to prep for this one and hopefully only one opponent and no look ahead Louie-ing going on, I'll take Michigan.
Dude, Michigan's offense, the stats are bad. I mean, they're rushing offense.
Their run game's good.
Well, yeah, it's like I'm seeing EPA per rush. They're number 42. So I guess that's good considering that they're in like the 120s and like all the other stats. But
yeah, they've been doing that against defenses that know they can't throw.
This is true. Now that they have the throwing quarterback,
I've been told they have a throwing quarterback now.
Literally. Yeah. Colston Loveland's going to be running butt naked wide open down the seam. I can't in good faith pick Illinois in this game. So excited for them to win like 27 to 26 and just disgusting.
That's a lot of points.
That's true. A couple pick sixes, maybe a scoop score. Luke Altmaier's out here.
Game number 5. It is a night game. Back in the SEC. Georgia is at Texas, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Local time. Jason, our local resident non-Longhorns fan, is nodding his head.
Right.
That's right.
Texas is favored at home by 3.5 points. Boy, oh boy. Mm. I get to be the first.
Mm.
I'm going to take Texas. Ooh. Advanced stats really likes them. Home game really likes them. I'm pumped to watch this game because Texas kind of has kind of the one loss to play with still.
Yeah.
For the rest of the season. Georgia does not. So I'm interested to see to what start and with what urgency Georgia gets out of the gate in this one, because they did not come off the blocks well against Alabama. And they need to against Texas. But I'll take the Horns. Ewers got the rust knocked off of him last week. Arch is a competent backup if need be. So hook 'em, baby. We're back. We're so back.
There we go.
Yeah. Jordan, are you on the Game on Paper site?
No.
Oh, okay. There's I was wondering if any of you guys were, because the logos are hilarious. Like the Georgia logo is like not the Georgia G. Seen, it's just like up. It's like
Game on Paper uses a sad bulldog.
Yes, it's like a JPEG image of a sad bulldog, and then the Texas is just the normal Longhorn. Anyhow, Georgia's defense has not been Georgia's defense so far this year. Their offense has been pretty good. Defensive success rate not great, and they gave up 31 points to a bad Michigan State team. Granted, Kirby motivated Michigan State's quarterback by shoving him on the sideline. So
Mississippi State.
Sorry, Mississippi State. Thank you. And I don't know. The way that Texas was able to, I mean, when it comes down to it, Texas is so good on third down. I think they could drive Georgia crazy. I remember the Michigan game and the way that Texas sort of toyed with the Michigan defense. Texas offense is number one in combined EPA. They're tremendous team. Offensively, their defense has been really, really good too. They got dudes everywhere. If their quarterback goes down, it's not a problem. This is just kind of like an embarrassment of riches situation. So something inside me wants to say, like, Texas hasn't seen Georgia, Paul. They haven't seen a team like Georgia, but I kind of think that they have. I think Michigan is similar to Georgia, at least defensively. Michigan doesn't ask the same questions on offense. I think Georgia is going to need to stay in this game with a really good offensive game plan. I'm not sure I trust Bobo to put that together. So I'm going to go with Texas to cover the short line at home.
I mean, you guys both picked this knowing what I was going to pick. So it's, you only have yourselves to blame for the consensus being this loaded.
For Georgia winning like 44-14, just inexplicably.
Well, we had three of them last week too.
That's true. Went 2-1 last week. Yeah, I'm taking Texas. You guys took pretty much all of my notes. I said that Georgia defense doesn't seem as all world as it has been. We've seen it get kind of run up and down by a well-run, well-oiled offense. That Alabama offense in the first half was clicking. I am genuinely giddy to see what Sark scripts out for the first drive, because he's just giggling at his desk right now thinking of those 9 plays. And yeah, I think Ewers calmed down a lot after a pretty rough start last week against Oklahoma. He looked very discombobulated, but very much got it together. And yeah, I think Georgia's going to have to keep pace, because yeah, Texas can. I think I saw Texas is the best team in the country at not giving up the big play. So Michigan's going to have to be ready. I mean, gosh, Georgia's going to have to be ready to nickel and dime them and kind of keep pace with Ewers on offense. And I don't know that it's built quite that well. They have a good offense, better than, you know, Georgia teams of the past, but I think Texas is just that good. So
hook yeah them. I think potentially in Georgia's favor, they are stronger offensively in the pass game than they are the run game. So if this turns into a we need to keep up, I think they're better equipped for that than some teams.
It'll be interesting to see if they can keep Texas defensive line at bay and keep Mr. Quarterback guy upright long enough to make that impact.
I just don't think they've faced a defense like Texas has.
Yeah.
And Ewers and Arch and Sark kind of collect a lot of the attention for the offense, but that defense is really dang good.
Yeah.
I did see, I think right before we got on, I think I saw Isaiah Bond is like sort of battling injury. Texas's stud wide receiver.
Mm. Yeah, he left the Oklahoma game.
Yeah, and I believe he's questionable in the injury report, but Sark is optimistic. So if he's limited, that will help Georgia. He can take the top off pretty much any defense. So something to keep an eye on, but I still like the Horns.
Yeah. You think Sark's going to pull out his nice sunglasses for this game?
I hope so.
6:30 local.
Under the BKR lights.
I hope he just wears them for the entire time.
Yeah.
I still can't get out of my mind that time where he like completely freaked out on that person that was touching him before they left, jumped onto the field. Like, I want to know what was going through his mind when he
probably about 3,000 mg of caffeine.
Just was wired.
My man just stone colded a nitro cold brew in the locker room.
Cracked open a fresh smelling salt in the tunnel.
Don't touch me.
He's up for blood.
Yeah. Yes, he was. Cool. All right. Well, I'm thrilled for this game. I mean, this is why we do a lot of complaining about realignment and stuff, but like we've had some sick matchups matchups, like conference
games. The problem
games
with this all is that it's you know, damaging the history of the game and hurting what people love about it and stuff like that, but also like it gets you Georgia, Texas on a random Saturday in October.
Sometimes. But I feel bad for the history of the game, but this is tremendous content.
Tremendous content.
It's kind of one of those situations. So, all right. Well, let's land this plane. Thank you for joining us, for making it this far into another edition of the Wheel Route Podcast. You can find the boys on Instagram at Wheel Route Podcast. You can send us emails, wheelroutepodcast@gmail.com. You can go to thewheelroute.com. It's a website. You can stream the shows there. You can see the whole archive. You can go back and listen to old Bachelor episodes if you want to.
They're all there.
They're all elsewhere too, but they are also all there. You can see the picks tracker there too. Anyhow, until we meet again, we love you guys. Go Gators.
Go Hoos.
Go Dukes.